Okay, you are listening to Recovery Radio. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center, and they're located at 531 South Main Street, Suite B in Moscow. Their phone number is 208-883-1045. Their hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, they're open from 12 to 1 for AA meetings. And their web address is latahrecoverycenter.org. Email address is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. And you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And my co-host in the studio is the world famous.
Oh, you're too kind. I'm Denise Miller, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and just very happy to be here today and sitting down and sharing company and sharing this time with our listening audience. Just, again, really happy to be here. Back hurts from working. And as I said earlier, I'm just really great to be sitting down and
yep.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we were complaining earlier about coworkers and other things going on, but we got it all out, and now we're in a happy space.
So right, so I was just gonna say real quick that we're hoping to radiate just peace and calmness to our listening audience so that everyone else can improve their day or to continue to have a good one. How about that?
That's right.
Or spread that around.
You can always do what I do. You can choose to restart your day at any point.
Exactly.
At any point. Yeah. And usually when it turns into a poop show and a dumpster fire, that's
a good point.
That's when I reset. Start over again.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's see. LRCC calendar, you want to handle that, Ms. Denise?
I do, because Johnny has some great stuff to share in a little bit here. So, November at the Latah Recovery Community Center. Recovery coach and peer support every day by appointment. Alcoholics Anonymous every day at noon. Positive affirmations Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eat Smart Idaho Nutrition is Monday the 4th. Oh, so at 5 p.m. Oh, no, that's coming. No, that just passed. Is that correct?
Right,
just the one time in the month?
Right.
Okay, so
right.
I just want to double check. Adult Children of Alcoholics Women's Meeting is Monday, 5:30 to 7. Life Skills is Mondays, 5 to 6. Bead Workshop with Jean, and is that Leffingwell?
Leffingwell, mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent. Monday, October 21st. So is that a typo?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because we're in November, so.
Oh, yeah.
So be November.
In which case, yeah.
So sorry. Recovery Peer Volunteer Meeting is the last Monday of the month at 6. AA Big Book Study is Tuesday at 1:30. Chess with Steve is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6. Narcotics Anonymous is Tuesday at 5:30 and Friday at 5:30. Free Meal or Snack, sponsored by Good Sam, is Tuesday, 5:30 until out of food. Addiction Support Group, Tuesdays, 6:30 to 8, and that's p.m. Time Management and Organization,
that's a big one.
That's striking a chord. That's pretty
cool. I think that actually, let's see, even though they're saying Tuesdays, 7 to 8:30, I think the first class on that was actually last Tuesday, but I think you can, I don't see any reason why you can't jump
on
into it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Going on. And and the next one, the Pay It Back, the just a little side note on this, is something that the peers at the Recovery Center came up with, not management. And
nice.
That's, they wanted to do something that was a give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And what they decided to do, they're going to do one event monthly. And what they decided to do this month was do a leaf pickup in downtown. You know, because there's a lot of doorways and, you know, hard to get over parking areas. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Friendship Square area. And, you know, the city does a fine enough job getting out there, but, you know, this was a good way for us to get out in the community, do something for the community, maybe start some conversations with people.
And make things look nicer.
Because we weren't dressed like city workers, you know.
Right.
And so it was a good thing. And that was yesterday afternoon.
That's
awesome. And there'll be more of that to come. And hopefully we'll schedule it a little later in the month so we can get the word out on it.
Ahead of time.
You know, because the calendar comes out. came out almost like the first. Of course, that had to do with the holiday. But
yeah. So we'll want to just maybe announce next month if it's in the beginning or the end of this month. And we'll just kind of.
Yeah, we'll keep track
cool.
of that, and
we'll
find out when that next one is.
Positive Affirmations, Wednesdays 5 to 6. Recovery International, Mental Health Self-Help Group, Wednesdays 6:30 to 8. New Volunteer Orientation, Thursdays 4 to 5. Thanksgiving Dinner. Okay, so write this down. Thanksgiving Dinner is Thursday the 21st from 6 to 8 p.m. Write for You Writing Support Group, open to all. Support group is Thursday 5 to 6:30, and the lab is the first and fourth Thursday from 7 to 8:30. NAMI, North Central Idaho Family Support Program, the second Thursday of the month, 7 to 8:30. All Recovery Meeting, Fridays 5 to 6. Young Adult Addiction Support Group, Fridays 7 to 8. Johnny, I have a question.
Sure.
This Young Adult Addiction Support Group, now, is that under 18? Or is that...
I think it, when they say young adult, I think they're talking from the, 18 to 30 range.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Well,
right,
yeah, I guess that
there.
Makes sense. It says adult.
But
not teenager.
Right, right. But I don't think that's exclusionary.
Okay.
You know, if you're 14 years old and you've got a substance abuse problem, mm-hmm. I don't think you'd be thrown out for coming in and
cool.
wanting to share.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. I just wanted to check on that, but that's perfect. Okay. So then Movie and Games is Fridays from 6:30 to 9. Alcoholics Anonymous is Saturdays at 5:30.
Right. And
that's
a new one.
What does that say there?
ETOH. I'm out of the loop on that.
Okay. Well, we'll find out more on that one, what that means.
I will. But that's just so folks out there know who might be interested in. There hasn't been a Saturday night meeting in the area for a little while now.
Oh.
And so this is a new one. Like to get attendance up. We had like 4 people last Saturday. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we keep doubling, it'll turn into a heck of a meeting. But yeah, that's a new one. So Saturday, 5:30 at the Recovery Center.
Excellent. Veterans Coffee and Bitch Session is at the American Legion Cabin on Howard Street, the first and third Saturday at 1 p.m. Learn how to crochet and calm your mind is the fourth Saturday of the month, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And as always, classes and groups are always free or at cost and open to all. And there hasn't, I've heard from Johnny, ever been any kinds of fees because there really hasn't been a need for it. So
that's absolutely
and
right.
They are located at 531 South Main in Moscow. The number is 208-883-1045.
And a little quick shout out for our friends at Food Not Bombs. They're still doing their warm winter drive, collecting scarves, hats, gloves, and coats for those in need. And then kicking off on November 15th, Christmas gift collection, donations of gifts for children of the police who could use a happy holiday and parents who cannot, may not be able to afford it. If you want to get involved with that, you can stop by Wild About Art. They seem to be a point group for this. If not, you can call Jackie Walls at 208-669-3036. That's Jackie W. at 208-669-3036. And now for something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Denise, the always curious one of
well,
this group.
We got to jump in and say that, you know, I'm surrounded by wonderful women who are always sharing awesome things with me, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
but continue on. It's
we'll,
okay.
We'll go. Yeah. let me keep boosting your ego as high as possible.
Okay.
It probably won't get you into trouble at all.
I was going to say it's got to happen at least once a week, you know.
Yeah, there you
go. There
we go.
Okay.
She found this article and it was online and oops, I forgot to get the credit for it.
Okay. I can research that if you want.
It's from Collective, Collective.
Hold on. I got it.
It's right there somewhere.
CollectiveEvolution.com.
Right.
Yep.
And do you see the author's name on
there? I can get
there?
All that too. You go ahead and start and I will get that for
at
you.
At any rate, it's an article that I found pretty fascinating. And it's November in typical AA traditions is gratitude month.
It is.
Where we try and focus on gratitude. Okay, this is the article was by Arjun Walia, ArjunWalia. I'm sure I
Excellent.
Butchered that, but...
Well, but we spelled it,
If she's listening, I sincerely apologize. So it's Gratitude Month at AA, and, you know, we try and focus on things that we're grateful for, and you know, it's kind of Thanksgiving's coming up, Thanksgiving, grateful, mm-hmm. what are you grateful for, blah, blah, blah. And this article pops up, strangely enough, and it actually has to do with the science of being grateful and the effect it has on our minds and body. And it reads as follows, in brief, the facts. Scientists have discovered that feelings of gratitude can actually change your brain. Feeling gratitude can also be a great tool for overcoming depression and anxiety. Furthermore, scientists have discovered that the heart sends signals to the brain. To reflect on, every time we struggle with depression, why are we constantly encouraged to take prescription medication when mindfulness techniques actually show more promise? Gratitude is a funny thing. In some parts of the world, somebody who gets a clean drink of water, some food, or a worn-out pair of shoes can be extremely grateful. Meanwhile, somebody else who has all the necessities they need to live can be found complaining about something. What we have today is what we once wanted before, but there is a lingering belief out there that obtaining material possessions is the key to happiness. Sure, this may be true, but that happiness is temporary. The truth is that happiness is an inside job. It's a matter of perspective. In a world where we are constantly made to feel like we are lacking and always wanting more, it can be difficult to achieve or experience actual happiness. Many of us are always looking toward external factors to experience joy and happiness, when really it's all related to internal work. This is something science has just started to grasp as well, as shown by research coming out of UCLA's Mindfulness Awareness Research Center. According to them, having an attitude of gratitude changes the molecular structure of the brain, keeps gray matter functioning, and makes us healthier and happier. When you feel happiness, the central nervous system is affected. You are more peaceful, less reactive, and less resistant. Now, that's a really cool way of taking care of your well-being. There are many studies showing that people who count their blessings tend to be far happier and experience less depression. For one study, researchers recruited people with mental health difficulties, including people suffering from anxiety and depression. The study involved nearly 300 adults who were randomly divided into three groups. This study came from the University of California, Berkeley. All groups received counseling services. But the first group was also instructed to write one letter of gratitude to another person every week for 3 weeks, whereas the second group was asked to write about their deepest thoughts and feelings about negative experiences. The third group did not do any writing actively. What did they find? Compared to the participants who wrote about negative experiences or only received counseling, Those who wrote gratitude letters reported significantly better mental health for up to 12 weeks after the writing exercise ended. This suggests that gratitude writing can be beneficial not just for healthy, well-adjusted individuals, but also for those who struggle with mental health concerns. In fact, it seems practicing gratitude on top of receiving psychological counseling carries greater benefits than counseling alone, even when that gratitude practice is brief. Previously, a study on gratitude conducted by Robert A. Emmons, PhD at the University of California, Davis, and his colleague Mike McCullough at the University of Miami randomly assigned participants to be given one of three tasks. Each week, participants kept a short journal. One group described five things they were grateful for that had occurred in the past week. Another group recorded daily troubles from the previous week that displeased them, and the neutral group was asked to list five events or circumstances that affected them, but they were not told whether to focus on the positive or the negative. 10 weeks later, participants in the gratitude group felt better about their lives as a whole and were a full 25% happier than the troubled group. They reported fewer health complaints and exercised an average of 1.5 hours more. Researchers from Berkeley identified how gratitude might actually work on our minds and bodies. They provided four insights from their research suggesting what causes the psychological benefits of gratitude. Gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. Gratitude helps even if you don't share it. Gratitude's benefits take time and practice. You might not feel it right away. And finally, gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. The brain part is very interesting. The researchers at Berkeley used an MRI scanner to measure brain activity while people from each group did a pay-it-forward task. During the task, the participants were given money by a nice person. This person's only request was that they pass on the money to someone if they felt grateful. They did this because they wanted to distinguish between actions motivated by gratitude and actions driven by other motivations, like obligation, guilt, or what other people think. This is important because you can't fake gratitude. You actually have to feel it. If you don't feel grateful or practice trying to feel grateful by taking the necessary steps, like keeping a gratitude journal, you may not experience as much joy and happiness. In a world where emotions aren't really taught in school and the importance is put on striving for high grades, it's not abnormal to have difficulty feeling grateful. This is especially understandable if you've been brought up in the Western world, which is full of consumerism and competition, a world where we're constantly made to feel we are lacking, so we need to strive for more. Participants were asked to rate how grateful they felt toward the person giving them the money and how much they wanted to pay it forward to a charitable cause, as well as how guilty they thought they would feel if they didn't help. They were also given questionnaires to measure how grateful they felt in general. We found that across the participants, when people felt more grateful, their brain activity was distinct from the brain activity related to guilt and the desire to help a cause. More specifically, we found that when people who were generally more grateful gave more money to a cause, they showed greater neutral sensitivity in the medial prefrontal cortex, a brain area associated with learning and decision making. This suggests that people who are more grateful are also more attentive to how they express gratitude. Most interestingly, when we compared those who wrote the gratitude letters with those who didn't, the gratitude letter writers showed greater activation in the medial prefrontal cortex when they experienced gratitude in the MRI scanner. This is striking as this effect was found 3 months after the letter writing began. This indicates that simply expressing gratitude may have lasting effects on the brain. While not conclusive, this finding suggests that practicing gratitude may help train the brain to be more sensitive to the experience of gratitude down the line, and this could contribute to improved mental health over time. It's also interesting to note that a recent study just discovered a brain network that gives rise to feelings of gratitude. The study could spur future investigations on how these building blocks transform social information into complex emotions. Well, what about the heart? The work and research above is great, but where do we actually experience these feelings? They are clearly not a product of our brain. They are products of our consciousness, and when we feel them, the brain responds. Researchers are now discovering that the heart also responds, and that might actually be the heart that's responsible for sending these signals to the brain. A group of prestigious and internationally recognized leaders in physics, biophysics, astrophysics, education, mathematics, engineering, cardiology, biofeedback, and psychology, among other disciplines, like that isn't enough, have been doing some brilliant work over at the Institute of Heart Math. Their work, among many others, has proven that when a person is feeling really positive emotions like gratitude, love, or appreciation, the heart beats out a different message, which determines what kind of signals are sent to the brain. Not only that, but because the heart beats out the largest electromagnetic field produced in the body, the Institute has been able to gather a significant amount of data. According to Robin McCready, PhD and Director of Research at HeartMath, emotional information is actually coded and modulated into these fields. By learning to shift our emotions, we are changing the information coded into the magnetic fields that are radiated by the heart and that can impact those around us. We are fundamentally and deeply connected with each other and the planet itself. Another great point made below by the Institute. One important way the heart can speak to and influence the brain is when the heart is coherent, experiencing stable sine wave patterns in its rhythms. When the heart is coherent, the body, including the brain, begins to experience all sorts of benefits. Among them are greater mental clarity and ability, including better decision making. In fact, the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends in return. What's even more amusing is the fact that these heart signals, from heart to brain, actually have a significant effect on brain function. Research findings have shown that as we practice heart coherence and radiate love and compassion, our heart generates a coherent electromagnetic wave into the local field environment that facilitates social coherence. Whether in the home, workplace, classroom, or sitting around a table, as more individuals radiate heart coherence, it builds an energetic field that makes it easier for others to connect with their heart. So, theoretically, it is possible that enough people building individual and social coherence could actually contribute to an unfolding global coherence. So far, the researchers have discovered that the heart communicates with the brain and body in four ways: neurological communications, nervous system; biophysical communication, pulse wave; biochemical communication, hormones; and energetic communications, electromagnetic fields. Excuse me. HeartMath research has demonstrated that different patterns of heart activity, which accompany different emotional states, have distinct effects on cognitive and emotional function. During stress and negative emotions, when the heart rhythm pattern is erratic and disordered, the corresponding pattern of neural signals traveling from the heart to the brain inhibits higher cognitive function. This limits our ability to think clearly, remember, learn, reason, and make effective decisions. In contrast, the more ordered and stable pattern of the heart's input to the brain during positive emotional states has the opposite effect. It facilitates cognitive function and reinforces positive feelings and emotional stability. Gratitude and positive feelings can change the world. It gets deeper. Every individual's energy affects the collective field environment. This means each person's emotions and intentions generate an energy that affects the field. The first step in diffusing social stress in the global field is for each of us to take personal responsibility for our own energies. We can do this by increasing our personal coherence and raising our vibratory rate, which helps us become more conscious of the thoughts, feelings, and attitudes that we are feeding in the field each day. We have a choice in every moment to take to heart the significance of intentionally managing our energies. This is free will or local freedom that can create global cohesion. And that's Dr. Deborah Rosman, president of Quantum InTech. And I'm going to cut it off right there. It goes on with more examples of other studies done. But I think that more than gives us the concept that not only is gratitude something that one can practice when you're feeling good, it turns out it's something that's a practice that can help you when you're not feeling good. And then not to mention all the physiological and psychological and things that are going on between the heart and brain. I mean, it's a lot to absorb. It is a ton. You're sitting there shaking your head, speechless.
Because my heart has been warmed since I read that article. I think it was earlier this week. And yeah. I just was in awe of such happiness. I think actually it might have been Saturday or Sunday. It might have been over the weekend. Just beautiful, heartwarming, and also awesome as far as I've experienced these things. And it's really great to see how science shows things that I've experienced and explains it well, because I couldn't explain that way. So,
well, yeah, you know, it's like technologist friends of mine used to say, you know, any technology significantly advances, you know, indistinguishable from magic. And this is, you know, gratitude and making gratitude lists. It's, you know, something that I have done, something I have helped other people do so that they can actually, you know, experience the gratitude. And when they talked earlier in the article about, you know, some people are happy with a drink of water and a little bit of food, you know, and some worn out shoes, I can relate to that because, you know, a couple of days of sobriety was something I had been unable to attain for years.
And I think gratitude for me was one of the first things that I could understand and that I practiced, and it made a big difference from the very beginning of recovery, even from my experience of sitting in Laytaw for that month before getting into my program.
Right.
And then all the way through, even, you know, through my program to currently, to today.
Right.
I mean, I remember having times where I couldn't fall asleep, and I would start out with, because this really meant a lot to me, I would start out with, I have a pillow underneath my head. I have a bed to lay in. I have a blanket over me. I have a roof over my head, you know, and literally went on to there. And usually I would fall asleep somewhere in the process of starting at the very general basic thing of that I had a pillow and I was warm and I had a blanket and
right.
I had somewhere to live.
Right.
Because before I had started in recovery, I was homeless.
Right.
So.
Right.
So
and
that,
sleeping
yeah,
in the sleeping in the back seat of a 64 Chevy is not necessarily all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, have you had that experience? Because I didn't have a 64 Chevy.
I had a 66, and it was a station wagon. So, yeah, I did have room to stretch out, but, yeah. Yeah, you know, that tap on the window in the middle of the night. Hey, dude, you can't.
Oh, you mean you were passed
here.
Out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't stay here.
Can't stay here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things like that.
Right.
You know what? I want to take a break for a
yes,
minute and
say,
go have a sip of water because yep. I just about wore my throat yeah. out, which will thrill my wife because I won't be able to complain.
That's perfect. See?
And we'll listen to a little music here. And where are we?
We are at KRFP in Moscow, Poland, and you are listening to Recovery Radio.
This is a groovy party, man. I can dig it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the end. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Back. That was a little Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? And in case you're wondering what's going on with gratitude, well, that's what we're talking about today on KRFP, the
yes.
coolest station in the nation. And today we're trying to make it even cooler. And we're talking about, if you missed the first half, we're talking about gratitude and how it physically it can change your brain waves or change your brain
wave.
Function,
yeah.
your heart rhythms, how your heart affects your brains. I mean, there was a whole bunch in there.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to throw that out. That's from...
Let's see, it's from...
The website is Collective...
evolution, and the article says science show how gratitude literally alters the human heart and molecular structure of the brain. And the lady's name, you want to give a shoot
I'll
at that again?
I'll butcher it again. Is Arjun Walia, A R J U N W A L I A, and again, that's www.collectiveevolution.com.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, Denise and I were talking about how she was talking about how in a relationship she has, she can actually sit down next to somebody and actually feel that, you know, negative energy or positive energy. And I totally get that because my wife can walk into the house on a certain day and I can just feel a funk drop on the house. And sure enough, you know, something happened at work or something's going on. Or she's upset about something. And man, I can feel that from 40 feet away. Mm-hmm. You know, something's going on. Other times I'll wake up earlier in the morning than normally and I'll just have this very positive feeling, you know, wake up wide awake, usually not the case for me. Kind of like a
not
two,
a morning person.
I'm a two cup of coffee kind of guy, you know, to get to get the synapses firing properly. Not that I'm grumpy or anything, I'm just kind of very ambivalent. Mm-hmm. It's like the house is on fire.
Well,
one more cup of coffee. I'll deal with it.
Let me get in a to-go cup. Hold on. Call the fire department.
Yeah.
I gotta get in the cup.
Well, the power's still on. Come on, Craig.
That's great.
But I'll wake up in this happy mood, and then all of a sudden this little songbird will start chirping away about what's going on today, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and it's her very positive energy just floods the room. Mm-hmm. You know, and
all of a sudden you're like Snow White and the birds are coming in through the windows.
Right. Yeah. Little birds singing on my shoulder. And you don't want to reach out and crush it, you know. Reminds me of
an old
army marching tune. What a horrible flashback. It starts out a yellow bird with a yellow tail. I won't go into the rest
of it. Sorry, I'll stop interrupting you and throwing bird pictures in. Continue.
It's inappropriate for radio. It's inappropriate for life. Anyway, back on track here. Where was I going with this? So anyway, to know that there's, like I was telling you earlier, Denise, you know, I'm an analytical, I'm a scientific mind. I like to have empirical evidence that shows me that what I'm feeling is definable. You know, I'm still working on that for this higher power thing, this God of my non-understanding, and I'm okay if I never figure that out, which I'm pretty sure I won't, other than it exists and it works for me in the state I'm in. But to know that, you know, practicing gratitude, writing, you know, gratitude letters, or you had an interesting practice you were telling me about. Why don't you share that? When you would go to bed at night.
So what I was saying before the break was, during the break. So when I would go to sleep and I couldn't sleep, I would just start out with, I'm grateful for the pillow that I have. I'm grateful for the blanket I have. I'm grateful for the bed I'm sleeping on, the roof over my head. And I would just continue on, you know, and it would go into my family, being in recovery, the job I have, you know. Just to continue, and I would always fall asleep during it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still tend to start out with that, even though I have a lot more things to be grateful for than I did, say, 6 years ago when I was just, you know, starting in my program.
Right.
But I was thinking about it since I read this article, and so every day I've been making sure that I intentionally do a gratitude, even during the day.
Right.
And on some things that I think, I don't really get the feeling quite as much like in the middle of me, but for some stuff, it's like, oh yes. Oh, there's that grateful feeling and I can feel it.
Right.
You know? And so there just are, I can feel it when I think of the thing. It just warms me up. Feels so good, you know, to think of that. And that will help me even during the day. 'Cause lately I've been having some problems with my back and stuff. And so I will do that at work to try to get through things.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I got to say that since I've been doing it every day specifically because I read this, I mean, mm-hmm. I do it during the week or the month or whatever, you know, when I think of it, but it's actually already made a difference. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well,
I start out real basic though.
Three days a week, you and I in our bad backs, mm-hmm. Like a couple of old folks sitting on rocking chairs in
terrible.
The front, but, 3 days a week, I go down to the Martin Wellness Center mm-hmm. out on Palouse River Drive, and they have a therapy pool there, and they have classes that, you know, you can get in the water, do exercise, and there's things I can do in there that I can't do on dry land because, you know, the buoyancy in water, it's like you're semi-weightless, so I can twist, I can jump up and down, I can do exercise all those muscles and develop core strength. In a way that I can't do on dry land with normal gravity affecting my fat buttocks. So, and when I'm down there, you know, our teacher always, you know, thanks us for coming in. And I make a point of not just saying thank you, but letting her know how grateful I am that, you know, she's committed to this and, you know, how grateful I am that that she's got a sense of humor and works with it. And I've been doing that since I've been doing this for a couple of years now. And there are a lot of things that I will put off till tomorrow, but I will crawl naked across broken glass to make it to those classes 3 days a week.
So it's really important to you.
It's very important. Yeah. And I think it's because of...
It helps you.
The my brain is going, you need to get and be grateful for this. You need to get and make that expression of gratitude.
And it's interesting.
Because I probably don't do it enough.
And
honestly, I probably don't.
It's interesting that you mention that because it talks about in one of the studies that they did about the people who practice the gratitude that they actually exercise more as well.
Right. 1.5 more hours a week than the groups that wrote a complaint list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, the headphones are trying to rip off me. Here we go. I'm back.
So it's interesting because I see where, you know, it starts out with the gratitude and it talks about what that can do for you and your emotions and everything like that. And then it goes into the heart, talks about what it does for the heart and how, you know, and even to the point of if it affects the people around you. And in my mind, I see it talking about globally, you know. It was interesting to me, I think... My mind has always wondered, how in the world could there possibly ever be peace across, you know, across the world?
World
where
peace,
we live.
Yeah.
World peace, you know what I mean? How could that possibly be? And I realize, you know, that it's quite the long shot to assume that everyone's going to get on a peaceful, grateful page and their hearts are just going to radiate all that. But at least this kind of explains how and that you do have a part and it does make a difference. So for me personally... That's one of the things that I took out of this article that was just so important to know.
Oh, yeah. Well, and
that there's,
and
you know how that works.
Looking at things globally, it's you know, it's a great dream of mine. Can't we all just get along, right? But I can shrink that back down to, you know, can I get along with my radio co-host? Mm-hmm. When we work together, I think because of this common cause, we have developed a relationship that probably never would have occurred were we not kind of thrust into this situation that we're in. And even more close, I mean, I ask, you know, I'm always interested in what your kids are doing, how mm-hmm. your husband is, you know, all those things that are going on. You know, that probably in life, outside of recovery probably never would have happened.
Right.
And it wouldn't have happened on this level if we weren't forced to work with each other mm-hmm. constantly,
exactly.
You know,
we
a couple of days a week that we
this,
put
yeah.
into this, you know, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, I can have that coherent heartbeat and share that with a group in AA or,
right.
you know, I'm not likely to reach out to the whole world, but if I connect to you and you connect to Sherry at Celebrate Recovery yeah. and she connects with a few people there, I can see how the world could be connected.
Right, because instead of doing negative things, right, we're doing positive things to be loving and kind to each other and peaceful and there for each other. Yeah.
Absolutely.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And I was thinking, about that and that, what is it, electromagnetic field that the heart gives. Where is that at? I'm trying to find it here.
Way back. There you are.
Magnetic fields that are radiated by the heart can impact those around us. You know, see, it's really hard because I'm not a scientist, but I think you guys are getting what I'm trying to say here. It's pretty cool, though. It's that energy that you can feel when someone is radiating, you know, strong emotions. Yep. And obviously, if you see someone's face, you can usually tell what those are. But I've experienced times when I didn't need to see their face or communicate with them. They just sat next to me and I could feel it. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've been there and experienced that. I think that's, you know, I don't think that's something that is unique about me or necessarily about you. I think, you know, we've all had that experience of walking mm-hmm. into a room and the tension is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one even has to be talking.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. And that's usually the first sign. Nobody's talking.
Yeah, yeah. And then the only other thing I could think of was, have you, Johnny, ever heard about people getting together to pray for a cause? I think maybe that might have been the last part of the article that wasn't as necessary for us to read. But they talked about during war times, during the Cold War, about a certain amount of people getting together and praying, and the death rate at that time went down. Another great example is a study that was conducted in 1993 in Washington, D.C., which showed a 25% drop in, that one's crime rates.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's violence.
There was one about the Cold War. And the deaths dropped during that time, too. So it also talks about people getting together and meditating or praying for something, you know, for a common thing that's peaceful and that works. And I've heard about things like that throughout my life.
Oh, yeah.
I experienced things like that.
Remembering just a little bit of it. But I know when the Beatles were involved in transcendental meditation mm-hmm. with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, they did like big stadium meditate, which is, I think about now,
it's amazing,
what an insane idea. We're going to get a bunch of people together to meditate. And when meditation for most people is a very personal, private thing, no, we're going to fill a stadium or we're going to meditate for an end to war or world peace mm-hmm. or just, you know, personal coherence, you know, mind and body. But yeah, no, those things have happened and they have had an effect.
They have.
Unfortunately, we find out about so many of these things in retrospect, but it's good to know that the studies are going on. I mean, there were, what, four studies cited in this article,
this is pretty cool.
And not to mention, you know, opinions by different people in different scientific disciplines as well. So... You know, if you're okay with, you know, the concept of I do this because of my religious beliefs, great. Well, if you're not a religious person, if you're even, you know, agnostic or God forbid, atheistic, I say that as a joke. God forbid. Anyway, if you're atheistic, I mean, that's fine. Yeah. You can still practice gratitude. I mean, you still have things to be grateful for. And I tell you what, in the political environment we're in right now, in not just in our country, it's like this all over the world. You know, the less we're grateful for and the more we complain about, we should have more of this and more of that and, you know, more government control or whatever your thing is, you know, more government control or more government benefits. I mean, whatever side of the line you fall on, being grateful for what you have right now is a good practice. And here's the proof. Mm-hmm. Here's the proof.
Yeah.
Not only will you feel better, you can affect people around you and feeling better.
Yeah, I was going to say, Johnny, can you read that, just that last paragraph of the takeaway?
Sure.
So the very end.
Here's the takeaway. And wow, what perfect timing.
Yep.
Okay. Emotions and other factors associated with consciousness have the power to transform our inner world in ways we don't fully understand yet. These findings show how consciousness can actually transform the physical/material world, and that's huge. This validates the idea that if we can change our inner world through gratitude, empathy, compassion, and meditation, we can make our outer world more peaceful. And that is awesome. And I think now is where we wrap it up.
Yeah.
And thank you, Denise, for bringing
you,
this article to the forefront. And, you know, I, too, got a lot out of it and really enjoyed it.
Thank you for reading it for us.
And I hope all you folks out there in KRFP listener land got a little something out of it. And, you know, thanks for listening to Recovery Radio again. You can get in touch with us at lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com. And stop into the Recovery Center. Leave a message there. They'll get it to us. And what is it I usually say? Oh, yeah. If you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, well, you do.
Sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.